Welcome to Fujoshi Weekly, the show for the spiciest part of fandom and My Hero Academia shippers everywhere. I'm your host, Angie, and I'm here with Ash.
Hi.
And Deathna.
Hi, guys.
We've just watched the BL anime movie Twittering Birds Never Fly, The Clouds Gather, an adaptation from the manga Saizeru Tori wa Habatakanai, and now we're gonna talk about it.
It was so good.
Yes.
I'm very emotional.
I just finished crying, guys. Just yeah. So you know.
Maybe we should start with a short summary.
Yes.
If one can even summarize it properly. We'll probably reveal more about the plot in our discussion, but just to give you a short version, this is an explicit BL, so it's 18 plus, about a Yakuza syndicate and its intrigues and power struggles revolving around a very handsome, young, and also very successful group leader, Yashiro. The thing is...
Yashiro.
Yashiro is not only very gorgeous, handsome, beautiful, and all that, but also a masochistic, lewd, hypersexual, troubled man. Mm-hmm. So troubled.
He's got issues.
He's got issues, yes. And the story starts when Domeki Chikara enters the group as a bodyguard. And Domeki is an ex-cop who spent jail time before he applied for a job at the company, unknowing that it is actually a Yakuza business.
So he's so funny to
he's
me.
A bit, he's so stupid.
He's a bit of a dork like that, yes. So on one side, we have this cocky, slutty, hypersexual boss. And on the other side, we have Domeki is a very observant, but also like an airheaded dork, little bit stoic, very stoic.
He doesn't have a lot to say.
No. And he's very obedient as well.
Yes, he's a good dog.
Yeah. And as Yashiro, of course, makes advances on him, it's also revealed that Domeki is impotent.
He can't get an erection, for those who don't know what that word is.
And well, there's a history behind why. Yeah, that's kind of the gist of it. The story is hard to follow because there are so many characters that appear, and you had to figure out what's the Yakuza drama behind it, who is gunning for whom, and who tries to overthrow whom. And it's basically political drama among Yakuza centered around these two people, Yashiro and Domeki, who also very slowly start to mend their past or face their past and get closer to each other. And yeah, oh boy, do they have a past.
Yes. Well, and you know, I think for me, I usually have a hard time following stories like this, but I actually didn't have that hard of a time with this one. Like I usually do. So I was surprised. That's why I didn't want to read it that much.
Watches and read and rereads of certain scenes to, Oh yeah.
I mean, definitely it wasn't an easy one, but it wasn't the hardest I've ever had to try
and
to follow.
The anime also, I think there are more details in the manga, which is, it's clear an adaptation is always shortening stuff.
Yeah, but I don't know, I was having such a fun, like both fun and emotional time watching that I didn't even stop to think about, like, wait, who's that Yakuza guy? Did we already see him?
Yeah.
I don't know. The guy's getting a blowjob at the moment, so I'm not really concerned about his background.
It definitely made you not that concerned with the stuff you weren't getting because there was plenty of fun, like, sex stuff to cling to rather than have to try to follow the politics.
Mm-hmm. And the sex scenes are actually very, very well done.
They are.
Oh my God.
They're super well done. I didn't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't that. So.
And maybe some details about the production. So the manga is by Ko Yoneda. She made numerous one-shot BLs. And so this one is rather special for being a longer manga. Currently, there are 6 volumes out in Japan. The 7th will be released in March next year and will feature an OVA titled Twittering Birds Never Fly, Don't Stay Gold. That OVA will probably cover the background story of Kageyama, who is Yashiro's only love and high school friend, and also the Yakuza doctor. And Kuga, a little delinquent?
Delinquent?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Delinquent.
It's the story that actually opens the manga. So it's the first chapter that has the same name as this OVA. And there's going to be 2 other movies, actually. The second movie, it has been announced, but we don't have a release date yet. And the third movie, we don't have a title. So... Mm-hmm. But there's more to come to this story, and I'm very excited for it.
Good. It's so good. I'm very invested. I honestly wasn't expecting to get into it because I don't usually like I don't usually like Yakuza type. I like Yakuza stuff, but it's hard for me to get into. So, I don't typically get into them all that much, even though I would like to more. But this is one that I was actually able to get into, and I was able to follow it fairly well. So that was a pleasant surprise. And I think it's because the characters, they really kind of drew me. Like the characters are really well rounded.
Yeah.
Even the side characters. Yeah,
the characters are wonderful. I mean, I love Nanahara.
Yeah, Nanahara, he's funny. All the side characters are good. He was the one that was
introducing Domeki to Yashiro.
Yes. Yeah, he's got black hair.
He got stabbed later.
Yeah, he got stabbed. And then
he's the gossip girl. He always wants to know if they did it.
Yeah.
The answer is always yes though.
And that one I forget what his name is, but he is the older guy that he was drinking with Yashiro. He was a good character too. Because he was threatening Domeki because he likes him.
What's his name? Mizumi. Yeah, Mizumi. He's kind of, because he's the head of the group, or he will become the head of the group because the current head is ill and probably will not be there any longer. And this is what kicks off the whole drama.
Yeah.
Because Mizumi wants Yashiro to be his right-hand man, so he will get promoted.
Yeah.
And there are people who don't want that.
Yes.
For obvious reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the other characters in the Yakuza. It was really nice. You see them both doing Yakuza stuff, but mostly being in an office, typing on computers, gossiping. And they really say, this is the Yakuza works like a company. And it was a good, fun, company dynamics. People gossiping, people taking breaks, people running errands. And that was super fun. And it really helped me, who is also not really into Yakuza stuff.
Right.
Really get into it.
It's really good at immersing you into the story, even though you don't really know how the politics work. It immerses you in one way or another. Even if you're just here for the porn, that's fine because there's a lot, you know. So it's so good.
There's more information about the production because this is interesting, guys.
Yes.
There are two companies involved that are fairly new and are dedicated to BL adaptations.
Mm-hmm. Who do I have to suck? Whose dick do I have to suck?
Right. I want them to make more stuff already.
Yeah, they probably will. So let's break it down. The production company is Blue Lynx, who are the fairly new BL label of Fuji TV and are also behind the Given movie. And Umibe no Etranger, that movie is still on my watch list. I haven't found it yet. Mm-hmm. And Blue Lynx is the effort of actually some Fujoshi who work at Fuji TV. They're led by Yuka Okyasu, and she's working for Fuji TV and wants to create BL. So she pitched this to the Fuji TV higher ups, and they agreed because apparently there's money to be made in this genre.
Apparently.
Yeah. So we have this. Mm-hmm. And the animation studio is Grizzly, who, and now hold on to your seats, are rumored to be affiliated with MAPPA.
Ooh.
I don't know anything about studios.
MAPPA is the studio behind Yuri on Ice, God of High School,
Sarazanmai.
the newest season of Attack on Titan. What else did they do? So many titles that I absolutely love.
Oh my gosh.
So, and the source of this rumor is some tweets from the MAPPA account that were deleted and later posted on the Grizzly account. Ooh. And apparently the Grizzly website was registered using a MAPPA email.
Oh. Hmm, interesting.
They haven't confirmed anything, but holy shit.
Like, if we get an animation studio that's really good for our BL movies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, MAPPA is kind of mutating into my favorite studio.
Yes.
Same.
And it seems like some people there want to go full on BL and created this Grizzly studio to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. And did the Grizzly studio make any other movies?
Not yet.
Wow.
Ah, hold on. They did the Yarichin Beach Club.
Oh yeah.
And you know, judging by the Twittering Birds adaptation, they deliver quality.
Yes.
Yeah. They do. No, and Yarichin Beach Club was actually pretty quality as far as like animation.
The censorship
too.
Was shitty, but there's nothing you can do. But this one, Twittering Birds, I thought it looks gorgeous. They adapted the style of the manga very well.
Yes, it's so good.
The animation isn't always what I would expect from a movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, movie quality, but it's solid.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not dynamic or something, but...
Yeah.
It tells
the
story.
Wanky CG and stuff, but... Anyway, I think it's really interesting that the flood of female workers in the anime industry kind of leads to have more of a BL presence in anime.
Yes.
And for sure. I think we're going to see more. I hope so.
I know. This is exciting. Like, I'm hopeful because honestly, I feel like this fan base is grown. Like, I think they thought that people like us were going to die out, but we're just getting more and more prevalent.
We're getting stronger.
We're getting stronger. And like, it just shows in a lot of like even newer anime, like you'll see references to people like us and sometimes even animes about us, like that one, the Joshi one, I forget what it was called.
Botakoi.
No, also Kiss Him, Not Me.
Yes.
That one as well.
Yes.
But it's definitely showing that we are definitely more influential to these producers.
And I mean, projects like Blue Lynx and Grizzly are definitely proof of that.
Yes.
And the director, Kaori Makita, the director of this movie, surprise, surprise, worked also on Yuri on Ice, Sarasan Mai, Banana Fish, and took the reins at Grizzly to direct this movie. So there are a lot of MAPPA things happening there. I couldn't find any information who was behind the animations. But I guess there's a bunch of Fujoshi behind that one as well.
Good. It shows. Like, we saw the ass. We know. Only guys make those flat asses that don't do anything. But there was a lot of squish in this one. We know.
Definitely. The script was written by a man, though, Hiroshi Seko. Mm-hmm. He has worked on titles like Attack on Titan, Mob Psycho, Banana Fish, Vinland Saga. So,
wow.
He did some good stuff.
He did. I could tell. It was quality.
And this production has quality from A to C. I mean, the voice actors are also very interesting, especially for us. There are a lot of My Hero Academia voice actors in here. Like Yashiro, he is voiced by Terusuke Shingaki, who is the voice of Mirio. And Wataru Hatano lends his beautiful baritone voice to Domeki. And Hatano, I know him as a singer.
Really?
He sang the opening to Hitorichime My Hero, another BL TV adaptation, and the ending of Yuri on Ice. You know that dance song? You only live one. So he sang these two titles, and he apparently also lends his voice to Shinzo.
Mm-hmm.
So Domeki has a lower register than Shinzo, so he changed his voice here a lot.
He talks really low.
So low.
He talks really, really low, but his beautiful voice. I like it. And they both also did the drama CDs and were familiar with the role.
Yeah.
And they did an excellent job.
Yeah.
Yes.
They did good.
There are a bunch of voices that, as I said, that we know from My Hero Academia. And Nanahara has the voice of Fat Gum. It's Kazuyuki Okitsu and Ryuzaki. He's All Might.
Oh no, didn't he fuck? He did stuff.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So Ryuzaki has the voice of All Might, that is, of course, Kenta Miyake. So I'm just saying, I think this movie is beautifully made. It has a beautiful soundtrack. It has a very beautiful mood, a beautiful style, and it captures the manga beautifully.
Yes. Yes. It was beautiful. Honestly, I really liked the manga when I was reading it. I was having a hard time putting it down last night after I got to chapter 8. But this movie, they made it flow so well. And while I think, you know, it's definitely paced differently than the manga, I think that I like the pace.
In what way?
Okay. So like Angie said, there's a part in the beginning that the manga opens with that is not in the anime, but I kind of like the way the anime did it better because it was really jarring to go from that story to the main story.
True. And it gives more time for the main story as well.
Yes. And I really thought it was going to be about Kageyama and Kuga at first. I was like, oh, I didn't know that it was about these two characters. But it's actually, you know, it was actually just a side story. So it was weird that they opened with it, you know. So I'm kind of glad the anime did what they did. So.
And it's important that we know about Kageyama. So they chose well.
Yes. Yes. And they did open with him a little bit. But, you know, and I think that was a good choice what they did.
So if you haven't watched this yet, you can watch it on the Sentai homepage. They stream it for $12. You can buy streaming access and you have 7 days to watch this movie. And I hope they will also release a Blu-ray that we can buy later on because this is a movie I want to own.
Yes, I really want to own this one too. I don't usually buy a lot of anime, but I would buy this one and rewatch it over and over again.
We recommend going to watch this movie and then listen to the rest of this episode. As usual, we will spoil the shit out of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But we loved it and I think you should watch it.
Mm-hmm. Also, guys, just so you know, this discussion that we're about to have, there's a lot of discussion about rape and child rape and pedophilia and like all stuff that, because that's what the show is about. There's almost all the characters have some sort of instance of this. So if this is something that you can't deal with, or if that's a trigger for you, you're going to want to just skip this episode, because it's a very, very heavily centered around in this show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yep. Take care of yourself.
Please, please do. we don't want to be, we don't want to cause you anxiety and reliving stuff that you don't want to. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So let's dive into the movie then.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it starts with a brawl in a side alley where Yashiro's men are being beaten up by this beautiful young man, Kuga.
Yes, gosh.
And he called the doctor Kageyama, who is his crush.
Can you say crush?
He's the only man Yashiro ever loved.
Yes.
And he's not really over him yet. Not 100%.
No.
And he calls this doctor unseen, and he actually wants to see him fall in love with another man.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's weird. He's got like, I don't know, like he's definitely a little screwed up for various reasons. And
yes.
I think he likes to make games out of people.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Even he likes to suffer.
He likes to suffer. He's a masochist. That's one of the biggest things that they...
Well, that's a different kind of suffering.
Well, it depends, like emotional and physical. I think he likes both. And
he says that he doesn't deserve a relationship, or he doesn't deserve nice things. And he will just remove himself and watch from the distance. So watching his love falling in love with somebody else gives him like the opportunity to live through that, watching them be together, and watching Kageyama love another man is like he can observe.
Yes,
that's what he wants.
I also think that he definitely feels like he's completely like unattached from people, but he even knows, and he said it at some point, that he's not completely broken because he can fall in love with people. He has. And I think he also is kind of a nice guy.
Yeah, but he fell in love and got burned. That's why he doesn't want to anymore.
But what I'm saying is, I'm thinking in a way he's kind of doing this for his friend as kind of a nice gesture, because he knows that this is the type of person his friend would fall in love with.
Mm-hmm.
Also, but also it's a way for him to experience that kind of catharsis of having his heart broken. But I think he's also trying to be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, Yashiro is very like honest with himself in most levels, not in all, otherwise it wouldn't be a good story, but he knows that they won't be happy together, probably.
Yeah, he thinks that he's going to hurt people if he gets close to them, so
And I don't think it's like 100%. It has some percent of truth in it. He has the potential to really hurt people.
Yes. Yeah, he's not the type you bring home to mom, okay?
No. Just like I'm imagining the scenario, and it ends with sex near the mom.
It ends with sex in mom's bed, okay? Like maybe mom will walk in. Like, that's something he thinks about.
He won't stop.
Guys, no. No. Because Yashiro is messed up. Messed up. He was raped by his stepfather.
Yep.
And sex for him is like it's like a sort of emotional protection for him. He hides behind sex. He mm-hmm. craves it. It's his coping mechanism for all the messed up shit that he lived through.
Yes.
Broken home, yeah. broken life, everything. And that's how he copes with that. It's it just, he's the biggest slut the Yakuza world has probably ever seen.
Yes. And he's proud of it. He wears it like a badge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't Definitely. Care. Some would think like, oh, he's actually secretly ashamed of himself. I don't think he is. I think he's... No. I think he's just accepted that this is...
Everybody knows. I mean, Domeki comes into the scene and, well, he actually interrupts a sexual encounter with a guy that Yashiro has, and he mistakes it for...
A rape. Like
yes. Because Yashiro is all about as rough as it gets.
Yes.
And... And Yashiro is actually there. So you want to work for me? What did you hear about me? And then Domeki is listing off like your public toilet, your...
Yes. There's all sorts of terms that have been used to describe him.
The biggest slut ever. And Yashiro is just like, so, yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, that's it. That's me.
And of course, I mean, he just met Domeki.
Mm-hmm.
And he immediately goes for him.
He goes between his knees and starts to suck his dick. Their first meeting.
Yeah, because he has a rule. He won't touch his subordinates. And Domeki's like, I thought you don't touch your subordinates. And Yashiro's like, just like, I didn't say it with my hands.
Right.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. He's so, what's the word?
He's playful. He's definitely.
Very playful.
He doesn't take, like, he takes something seriously, but he's got a very carefree air about him in the way he operates in most things he does.
He really enjoys seeing people who react to his, like, degeneracy.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That poor convenience store guy, which I really hope they have a flashback to what actually happened, because they didn't show it in the movie. And I'm sad about this.
He's bored and he's like, I'm going to the convenience store. And Nanahara, he's... like right hand, probably. Nanahara is his right hand man.
Mm-hmm.
And Nanahara is like, yeah, let Domeki fetch it for you. And it's like, no, I like buying tons of condoms and then watching the reaction of the cute cashier.
He says it like this. He's like, there's nothing like going into the convenience store, spending $200 on condoms, and seeing the face that the cashier makes. And like, okay, like they actually had the scene of what happens when he does this. It was in the point of the view of the cashier. And it was
really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's in the manga. And like, I don't know if they'll ever show this in the movie, but it was so cute because his basket was completely full of condoms. And like the cashier's like, gosh, nothing ever changes in this convenience store. You know, I come here every day and I work and blah, blah, blah. And then like he goes, but that guy, he's always here. He's here all the time. And all he ever fucking buys is condoms, nothing else, only condoms. And like... And then he goes to pay and it comes up to literally almost $200 worth of condoms. And he's just got this like horrified face on him. And then he's like, but today something different happened. He came in here. He didn't buy even one condom. He just bought an umbrella, which is kind of a reference to what.
He went to the convenience store and.
Yeah.
So that's a nice touch. I hope they show this in the second movie or
I don't know how they're gonna fit it.
No, it's not gonna fit.
I don't think it's gonna. So But yeah, it was a cute scene.
And it's, but going back to Yashiro, I found it really nice. The more you watch and the more you read the manga, the more all the puzzle pieces about this man come together. You learn more and more about him.
Mm-hmm.
With his backstory and how he thinks about stuff, because it's from his point of view, you have a lot of narration from him. And I thought that was very interesting. And it gets so sad. This man is so sad.
Yeah, that's dark past and like some sexual abuse and stuff like that are like kind of old gen BL tropes that you don't see as much of today.
Yes.
And, you know, I kind of, I like seeing them because I love everything scarred and broken and problematic. I still feel like it was pretty well handled, but I don't know. Someone who likes it anyway, like, it's hard for me to say.
Okay, I'll tell you what I feel about it. Because when I first saw it, I was actually a little, like, rolling my eyes because all the time in old school BL, there was never a gay man in these series that hadn't been sexually abused by their parents. You know, it's always, oh, my father or my mother or someone did this to me and now all I think about is sex with men or something. So I was like, you know, the trope. But then I realized that this show is kind of about that. It's not just thrown in there as a reason why this person's gay. I mean, it, like he says it is kind of in a way, but it's also, you know, this
is part of the plot.
It's part of the plot, really. And it's a story about abuse and what it does to people. And it's definitely a trope that's used a lot in old school BL. But I feel like using it this way is makes it less tropey in a way. So I was definitely a little like biased when I found out.
It's about coping with your abuse because...
Yes.
Yashiro, he was alone his whole life, basically. He had nobody who helped him sort through his trauma.
No, none.
That's why he built all these shields and he hides behind lots and lots of sex.
And that's what a lot of people do, you know, when they go through trauma. So
yes. And Dōmeki, on the other hand, who helped his sister, even if it was too late, he helped her.
At first, it was his sister who ended up liking him too much and his classmates noticed. And he completely shut her out. He stopped talking to her, basically, to distance himself from her. Because he considered her his sister, even though they're not blood related, which is also a thing that always happens. Is apparently,
of course, they're not
can never actually be incest relationships, apparently. But yeah, so he considers her his sister, and that's it. But she loves him.
And then he notices how she stops smiling, how she's closed off, how she doesn't talk at all anymore. And when he went to police school, he said he's going to move into the dormitories of the police school. And and she was desperate and clinged to him and begged him not to go. And all he said was, "Well, I will come by sometimes. Like, what's the fuss?"
Right.
And I think he says in his second year as a policeman, he came by the house and went inside and saw his father raping his sister.
I think it was because they had received a tip that there was something going on in the house, and he was actually reported to the house.
Was
at least
he really?
That's what it was in the manga, yes.
Wasn't he just on patrol in the manga and just...
It makes sense why he went to jail. I mean, lost his job, because it wasn't as a citizen. Like, he basically beat up the guy, like, that was raping
pulp.
Almost to death.
Yeah, almost to death, yes.
On the job.
But he took all the blame and they managed to cover up what happened to his sister. And he went to jail for assault for 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, he could say that he saved her because this guy was a rapist, but apparently that's a problem in Japan. I don't know why.
Well, it's because drawing attention, like the problem with family in Japan, it's so important that, you know,
you have to cover it up.
You can't let anything. You
can bring shame.
Yeah, you can bring shame to your family. That's worse than being incarcerated for 4 years. Mm. And like, it's an unfortunate situation, but it's just like, I don't know. I guess I don't know exactly how that works, but I think it's something like that.
Yeah. And he took the blame and went to jail, and his dick stops working because of this
trauma.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, there was a guy in prison that was raping him. Well, not raping him, but like
making advances. And he always refused. And one time he
just didn't.
He was just like, whatever. And then he noticed that he can't get hard anymore. And he was happy about it because he's afraid that
he's going to end up like his dad.
His father. Yeah. So he's like, I'm fine that I'm impotent. Mm-hmm. So that I can't become like my father.
Right.
Oh my God. Everybody's broken.
Yeah, yes. Everybody's so broken.
So broken.
Yes.
Yes.
But then he meets Yashiro, who he's immediately simping for.
He's infatuated with him because seeing in the mafia someone so beautiful, it can't be all bad. Yeah. And this is after he learns that he's ended up in the mafia.
Yes.
And he's like, well, this beautiful person exists, so there's got to be good in here.
Oh, no, I'm in the mafia. Oh, well.
Right? Like, this guy's such a himbo, I swear. Not much going on upstairs.
But he's so sweet, and he's very much in love with Yashiro. And he just wants to stay by his side.
Yes.
And the thing is that Domeki is his presence and his calm demeanor and the way he prods at Yashiro the whole time helps Yashiro actually to confront his past and his problems and his unrequited love to Kageyama and overcome this. And in the same time, the sexual advances that Yashiro does help Domeki regain his abilities.
Libido comes back.
Yes.
Because, well, and it's so fucked up the way that it happens because Yashiro forces him to discuss his own childhood sexual abuse. Basically, when his nurse at his school took advantage of him and took his virginity. And Yashiro forces Domeki to recount this and starts to masturbate to it because he's so fucked up.
Oh, man. I didn't treat it as traumatic to Domeki.
Well, it wasn't for him, but I mean, it's still abuse.
It's sexual harassment, but yeah, it wasn't.
I don't think Domeki really thought anything of it, but it's still not something that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And Yashiro imagines him with the nurse when he gets fucked by Ryuzaki later on.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, it feels so good.
But Domeki in that moment had to stop. It's not like he didn't remember because he did. I think in the manga.
He did. He had to stop because he felt,
he's going to get hard. And like,
he's going to get hard.
And Domeki is so worried that if he gets hard, all of this that he has with Yashiro and touching his hair and spending time with him, all of this is going to stop because he thinks Yashiro only keeps him around and plays with him because he can't get hard.
Mm-hmm.
And
which it isn't.
No.
Miscommunication trope number 245.
Sure. I mean, I'm worried. Honestly, I don't know if Yashiro will keep him around, or at least he might not react well to it because
in the beginning, probably not. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't read the manga so far yet.
I think about miscommunication, there's such thing as justified miscommunication because there's some stuff you can't talk about because they have this boss-employee relationship, and mm-hmm. the assumption that Yashiro won't want him if he was like other guys is pretty reasonable to make. Because right. everybody around him, including Yashiro, says, like, I don't get attached, I never get in love, like, I only play.
I don't touch my subordinates like this. And that only stands to reason that Domeki's like, oh, I can't be a subordinate if we're like this. And he's going to
dump his ass. Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't have self-confidence in himself.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, though, because Nanahara, if you ask me... Mm-hmm. He's in love with Yashiro, too.
I think a lot of people are.
Yeah.
A lot of people are. I think even Ryuzaki is in love with Yashiro.
Yeah, for sure.
Should we talk about Ryuzaki, actually?
Yeah.
Because I like this guy. He's in the same position in the hierarchy of this group because, oh, this is so complicated. You have, like, the syndicate who is made of, composed of, several groups. Mm-hmm. And Ryuzaki is in the same position as Yashiro, just another group.
Yeah. And he's the one that has this shit in his dick, right?
What shit?
They did say it in the movie, but... Okay, so there's a thing about the mafia or the Yakuza when they go to prison. They get these body modifications where they like get stuff in like these little beads implanted into their dick to make it like
really
bumpy. Yeah,
for real, in real life.
Yeah, and I guess and
what
Ryuzaki has this because okay, when he went to that press conference for Yakuza or whatever, he had made a mention like I really missed the feeling of your body modification, that shit in your dick that you have. And he told him like anytime he wants to, he can, you know, jump right in, I guess. Or but
they will keep his ass clean for him.
And when when he touched him down there, like what you guys saw, he was feeling those beads.
Oh.
Yeah.
I miss this? Let me get the manga. What the fuck? Was this in the manga?
Yes. They didn't mention it in the anime, though. I was sad. I was like, why?
Oh, hold on. Like, wait.
And there was even a picture of what it was.
Hold on. This can't be it.
But I don't know if that was the scan
later. Is it volume one or two?
The press conference.
Okay, hold on.
Where they mention it.
Well, it's just the gathering of Yakuza because they celebrated somebody getting out of jail or something.
Yeah, that was him. That was Ryuzaki because he got out of jail and like
really
did he? I think it was him because he got more stuff in his dick.
This is okay. It's in volume one.
Why? Why do you need to see this now?
I need to see it.
It's fine. he wanted to feel it, and then he did.
Mm-hmm. Right? He says it? Yeah. Mit einem perlenbesetzten Schwanz. What the fuck? How did I miss this? Okay. Because I have it in German. He says, your beaded dick.
Beaded dick. And then if you go to where they're fucking, he mentions it again when he's molesting him.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, hello, Ryuzaki. Hello, All Might.
He's got a beaded dick, and they didn't mention that in the anime, and I'm sad.
I'm sad, too. Okay, that's not good. That's not good. Hey, it's Angie from the future. As clarification, we've watched a fan-translated version of this movie because the official release wasn't available at the time of recording. And as it turns out, the fan translation wasn't 100% accurate, as these translations often are. But in the meantime, we've watched the official Sentai release as well, and the professionals did indeed include the beaded dick. So it's actually in the movie. And we definitely recommend you to watch the official Sentai release. Now back to the episode. Okay, but anyway... Ryuzaki.
Mm-hmm.
So they're rivals. They're rivals because and the thing is, if Misumi takes the lead of this syndicate, He wants to take Yashiro with him, and I think Nanahara will probably take his place. But if Hirata, the other one, would take Yashiro's place, then... no, hold on. How does it work? Because Hirata plays a role in this too. Hirata and Ryuzaki are together. So if Yashiro climbs the ladder of the of this hierarchy, Ryuzaki suffers and Hirata suffer. So that's why Ryuzaki has something against Yashiro. Because they're rivals, basically. And also Ryuzaki does drug dealing, which is forbidden in the group. And he does that without the knowledge of the big boss. Yeah, that's the conversation they have before they fuck.
And because he's being careless and people are noticing and he's going to get them in trouble.
And Yashiro is like, I know what you're doing. I can bring you down.
Yeah, and he's going to have to, basically. It's like, I don't have a choice if you fuck up, so please don't, you know. Don't make me kill you, because I will.
And, and they have a past. So the gangbang that you see when Yashiro talks with Mizumi in the beginning, you see him thinking about the way he was before he joined the mafia. He just...
covered in cum all the time.
Covered in cum. And the group that fucks him is actually Ryuzaki's group. And Ryuzaki is there too. That's why when they fuck and Ryuzaki bites his nipple, he's like, oh, I remember you used to love to bite my nipple.
Yeah.
That's from back in the days.
Back in the day, yep.
Good old days.
And Mizumi takes him in, and that's why Yashiro is Mizumi's favorite, because Mizumi, he sees him like a son. He takes care of him. And he's the reason why Yashiro in the end made career at the Yakuza. And to prevent Yashiro to sleep with the whole syndicate, basically. He says, okay, if you want to fuck, you come to me. So they have a sexual relationship too.
Now it's more like a father-son one, even though they still joke about it. But he's just like, you know, he kind of acts like that trope in anime where the dad just loves their daughter or son too much. It's like, you could just stay with me. Like, why does it have to be why does your toilet have to be public? Why can't it just be my toilet?
And also Mizumi immediately knows, okay, Domeki is your type. You have to fire him because you're going to fall for him. And he says to Domeki, you think Yashiro is attractive. So you better watch yourself if you're alone on the subway.
He really pulls the mafia dad card. It's so cute. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, it has a lot of humor. Actually, that's what I was surprised at. And there's more in the manga.
It's
actually quite toned down in the anime.
It's really, it's still really there. Funny.
There are so beautiful, like, lighthearted moments when Yashiro gives Domeki this stupid shirt, the stupid tiger shirt.
I love that so much.
It's so cute. And when he puts him in this police uniform.
He did, and kept him in it for so long. And Domeki just stays there.
He didn't keep Domeki in the uniform. Domeki just wasn't told to change back. So he kept wearing it for days.
That's how Domeki is.
He is. He's so obedient. He's such a good dog.
Oh my god.
I really wasn't expecting Domeki to be like a main character, but he really is. And I was like, oh, wow. It's so weird to see this type of character be a main character. Like,
yes, because he's also so emotionless and stern and also like dumb.
It's so
doesn't
dumb.
Read cues at all at the same time.
And it's so weird to see this type of character in like Yakuza AU. Like, it's, or not AU. It's not a fanfic, but in a Yakuza story, like, this type of character, I feel, is interesting, and I like to see that.
Yeah,
that's good.
And it's also it was hard for me to like fall in love with him falling in love, because mm-hmm. that's not the type to fall in love. But he does, and he gets so tender, and like the way he wants to just put his hand in Yashiro's hair, even if it's while a blowjob happens, like he wants to, he's using this.
He's using not so him just cute. As much as Yashiro's using him. He's like, oh, this is a mutual relationship. He sucks my limp dick and I get to touch his hair. That's how this is.
That's fair.
And he's so tender and sweet. Oh, yeah. you go, several times.
It's equivalent exchange.
It is. He's a baby and he feels like he's on equal terms with this guy in their relationship. He's so funny. I love him. And then like there's just little quirks in the manga that weren't put in, but when he was in the rain while Yashiro was confronting Domiki's sister, mm-hmm. when they were back at Yashiro's place, he's like, come closer, and then he apparently came too close, and he literally, and Yashiro yes! was like, yes. Yashiro's like, oh, that's way too close, okay, you know, but whatever. But it just shows like how into him he is, and it was definitely put in the anime, but it wasn't put quite as much as it was mm-hmm.
And also speaking of the sister, because Nanahara, the idiot that he is, sees her and thinks it's a boy.
Yes.
I mean, so too.
This guy is so gay, okay? And he's so gay for Yashiro, and this proves it too, okay?
This proves it.
So he sees her and he's like, oh, this is Domeki's ex. And Yashiro is like, who? And he has this image of this ex of Domeki in his head. And I actually kind of is a little bit upset. So what? Who, what?
Right.
And only to see that it's a woman, and he actually tells Nanahara, what's your eyesight? Do you need glasses, guy? Hey, come on, man.
I think that maybe he did that on purpose just to rile him up.
Maybe.
Could be.
Well, but what I'm really interested in is watching Yashiro fall in love, because he is falling in love with Domeki. But I don't think he
realizes. I want to know if that was a kiss, if Yashiro kissed Domeki's cheek.
While you know, he was when sleeping that, outside the door like yes, a stupid
in
dog.
In the police uniform. I want to know. Editing. I haven't.
The editing was so genius, because we're used to getting this editing every time something naughty happens.
Yeah.
Like when it's off screen and you feel that something happened, but you didn't see it. But here, everything dirty, you see right in your face. And there was this tender moment and you feel like it was a kiss, but you don't know.
Don't quite know. Mm-hmm. And I love that mm-hmm. it's not clear what happened, because is he falling for him or is he... I like, what did he do? Like, well, it had to be a kiss, right? Right? You know, but who knows? Like, it could have been something else.
If you ask me, Yashiro fell in love with Domeki quite quickly.
Very, very quickly, yes.
Maybe without realizing it. And mm-hmm. I think that when he, if this is a kiss, what I believe it is, and all the manga readers will probably scream right now and say yes it was or no it wasn't, whatever, we'll get to that, but and I think that this is when he realizes that he really likes him.
I think so.
That's why he gives him the kiss. And mm-hmm. also in the cinema mm-hmm. before this is right before the very
thing.
Troubling end. Oh my God. In the cinema, when Yashiro is like, let me suck your dick. And Domeki is like, oh no, I'm getting hard. I will get,
No,
my dick. No. He nopes out of it. And Yashiro is like, annoyed.
It's like, yeah.
It's like, fine.
I'm going to
suck
this guy's dick over there then. And Domeki stops him and like, please don't.
right? And he was so sad.
Yashiro says, no, I don't want to. And you think that, well, he's off sucking somebody's dick, but he actually didn't.
No, he came back with soda. He comes to bring soda.
And if he wouldn't care about Tomeki, he would totally gone off and suck whoever's dick is there.
This bitch is whipped.
But he didn't.
This bitch is whipped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We thought that Tomeki was the dog, but really, it's Yashiro.
Yes.
Tomeki's got him under leashing collar already.
With all the fucked up shit and with all the sexual roughness that is around Yashiro, this relationship between them is so tender.
It's soft. Mm-hmm.
It's so tender and sweet, actually, if you think about it. It's as sweet as it can get in this environment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because they're both so broken and they don't know how to have like even a non-romantic relationship. So mm-hmm. every little gesture they do towards each other is so small yet so meaningful.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is mm-hmm. so cute. I just love it. And it's nice, the contrast, like you said, there's so much extreme, like their lives are so extreme, like being in the Yakuza and stuff. But like they just with each other, they just have these cute, tender moments. And it's just refreshing. Mm-hmm. It's a nice balance.
Like a moment mm-hmm. later, Yashiro goes and tells a guy, shoot me right in the dick where my life is. And like,
that's actually the true.
Dialogue. Oh my God. The dialogue is just so edgy.
It's perfect. Yes, but it's not, you know, good. there's edginess where you just roll your eyes and you think, oh my God, this is cringy. But here it's perfect. No. I love that exchange between Ryuzaki and Yashiro after that meeting, after that mm-hmm. celebration that they
had. I meant edgy as E-D-G, like why? Not etchy. So.
Edgy.
Yeah. But
It's done so well. All the dialogue is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And there's like plenty internal monologue. And I'm really a huge fan of that. Because that's when you really see into this character. Because Yashiro doesn't show you shit. There's no way to know what's going on inside him. Mm-hmm. And then like, he shows you a little bit in the monologue. And you're like, oh.
And Tomeki too, because him, like his face is so just nothing. He's literally just nothing. But inside, like he's got these strong feelings that are bursting within.
That
like
you actually only hear in near his monologue. The end.
Yeah.
And near the end of this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Especially when Yashiro is, you know, bleeding out in the alley. And he's telling him, no.
Yes, because after the cinema, they get out and Yashiro forgot his jacket and Tomeki, who is his bodyguard.
His bodyguard.
Picture this, okay? He has one job. One job.
Only one.
Only one. And he goes back into the cinema to fetch Yashiro's jacket. And in that moment, there's a gunman that walks by and shoots, like, I think, at first 2 bullets at Yashiro.
Yeah.
And then Yashiro is all like,
you didn't kill
man,
me.
Man, what kind of a shitty gunman are you? I'm still alive. Come on, shoot again. And then he just barely scratches his shoulder. And then
Yashiro approaches him.
He gets close. Give me the gun. If you want to shoot me where my life is, and points it at his balls. And well, in the end, the gunman is, well, he's a little bit,
he's
so
like,
what the
crazy.
Fuck is happening?
What
yeah, you're
you?
Crazy, and runs away. And this is the moment when Tomeki comes out of the cinema again, and Yashiro collapses.
Yeah.
And loses consciousness as well. So
mm-hmm.
he had one job. He's the bodyguard of Yashiro.
He's got one job, and he's
and he even
him get
can't
shot.
Do that right. He's such a himbo.
Yes. Poor guy.
So Yashiro gets ushered into the hospital. And in the ambulance, Yashiro has flashbacks of his life. And that's where you see the abuse that he suffered from his stepdad. And then, like, it's heartbreaking. These last few scenes and lines of dialogue are, oh my God.
Ugh.
It's like...
And he's just thinking to himself, like, I've already experienced, like, losing, you know, not being able to love.
I've experienced loneliness.
Yeah, my loneliness. I've experienced what it's like to fall in love with a man. Like, all these things. I don't need to experience anything else. And he thinks, you know, he's about to die or something. And, like...
Well, the movie ends there. It's fade to black there. And the line, I don't need to experience anything else, and then boom.
Yeah.
But doesn't he cry alone?
Yeah, you see. Yeah, it's a flashback of him as a high schooler.
That was his heartbreaking because he's in love with his friend and he thinks he's not allowed to be in love with his friend.
This is after the conversation he had on the roof. And this is why I have mixed feelings about Kageyama. Because he's kind of a dick to him.
Yeah.
He knows his situation at home is bad.
Mm-hmm.
He knew this because he tells it to Tomeki. By the time I met him, his family situation was already messed up.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do anything about it. On the contrary, he's like, we're both alone. Doesn't say we're in this together, and then he goes in like, you're my friend, and Yashiro is there like
laughing his ass off.
Well, basically, like, Yashiro played it off when Kageyama called him his best friend.
Yeah, he was like, deeply hurt.
He was basically hurt. Just like what the normal reaction is like, why would you say something so sappy? That's so gross. That's just like something that is said, and that, but like really his heart's breaking because he's in love with him.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's so sad.
And he thought they had something because there's things with Kageyama's kink that you don't know yet. And that he actually could live out with Yashiro.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you're my best friend. And then fuck you.
Right.
I think that another thing that hits Yashiro really hard is Kageyama tells him, I pity you. You're so pitiful. And that's like seems like a really big thing that Yashiro nopes out of because he doesn't want anyone to look down on him, not in a in a way that's not sexual. Like it forces Yashiro to distance himself from that guy because nobody wants to be seen as pitiful.
Right. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not like Kageyama helped Yashiro.
He did later in life.
Not really.
The thing is again, it's the family thing, is you typically stay out of people's family business, even if
I don't go
it's
on
bad.
And save them.
It's bad, but it's unfortunately, it's very common to, like, you typically stay out of, even if you know it's abuse, it's, even the teachers have a hard time getting involved.
Yeah, but they don't talk about it. He's not like Domeki, who is prodding him about it, who is asking questions about it. And Yashiro always blocks him.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever Tomeki asks the right questions,
right,
Yashiro is like, well, let me suck your dick. It's his coping mechanism. He's like closing off and not dealing with it.
I like that a lot because it takes like that typical Japanese situation where there's a situation of abuse and you don't really address it, but it's also Domeki is really needling it. You know, it's nice to see a character actually invested in somebody else's issues, even though it's, so I don't
you're
know.
Not
I
supposed
like that.
To.
Yeah, you're not supposed to. So that's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're both like, their whole thing is doing different things they're not supposed to and how it clashes.
Right. But you're right, Angie. I think Kageyama just doesn't love Yashiro. He just sees him as, you know, a friend. He literally said he's my best friend. And like, I don't know if it's intentionally like not seeing it or if it was like a defense
mechanism. He's not a bad person.
No, he's not.
I don't think he does it. Like, he's just not aware of it, maybe.
Yeah,
because he doesn't really think about Yashiro, or he doesn't analyze it too much or think about it too much. It's just this guy who didn't change since high school. And actually, you know, you can see how pissed Yashiro is when he has his thoughts in the car after this scene. Like, mm-hmm. I did change, Kageyama. You just don't see it.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And the same time, Domeki as well is like, you're such a blind man. How right. can
how
you,
do you
not
see
this?
How beautiful he is.
How do can you, like, you not see?
This is such a beautiful person. You are blind. Like,
yeah. How can you not see how great this person is?
And how much he loves you. Like, Domeki sees it. You know, mm-hmm. Domeki's like,
that's
and
the thing.
He's jealous.
Domeki's stupid, but he's very perceptive.
He is.
Yeah.
And he's jealous of Kageyama because he sees how much Yashiro likes him. And he's like, mm-hmm. why can't you, how are you oblivious to this person when he's mm-hmm. here and he's right? He's basically here for you, whatever, but he's just, mm-hmm. just not, you're not available to it. Like, it's weird for him.
And it's really beautiful that even in those painful parts, because Domeki knows right off the bat that he likes Yashiro, but he still prods into something that could become a relationship for Yashiro without him. He still shoves his nose where he's not supposed to, even in places that it will directly hurt him if people listen to him, because he'll lose the person he loves. And mm-hmm. he does it kind of like for Yashiro's own happiness. And it's mm-hmm. like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's a good
he's
boy.
So sweet. Oh my god, he's a puppy.
He
is. He's such a good boy.
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
Yeah.
Mm. But anyway, I think we're done. Or do you have anything to add, a character that you want to touch on?
Yeah, I want to talk about the soundtrack.
Oh,
oh
the soundtrack!
Oh, the soundtrack!
okay, for real, like, I didn't cry when I read the manga, but at the end... You know, with that scene that we were just talking about, the music started to play and water started pouring out of my eyes. And I'm like, wait, I was not this emotional when I read it. How? Like, the animation studio blessed them.
It's the whole mood. They caught the mood so well.
They did.
And the ending song is beautiful. Oh, my God.
It's very, like, beautiful piano that plays... everywhere, that's important. Like, even like the blowjob scene that I would have watched without the music and be like, oh yeah. And now I'm like, oh, it's so beautiful. This blowjob
is so beautiful.
I'm so emotional.
Oh my god. Yeah, I don't know how they made blowjobs artistic, but they did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
and it's a blowjob of a limp dick, so
yeah, of a limp dick. Even they somehow made it into art, and mm-hmm. here we are.
Yeah,
so
crying about it. And
we put the link in the show notes of the ending song because it's on Spotify. So if
good.
You have Spotify, you can listen to this song forever mm-hmm. and ever, because it's beautiful.
And for everybody who was with us at the watch party, thank you guys so much. It was really fun to do that. I think that we're gonna have to do a lot more of
mm-hmm.
these
mm-hmm.
so because we have a few movies coming up. We have the Given movie,
yes,
mm-hmm. which we should definitely do an episode on, and then
mm-hmm. well, the second movie of
The second movie of this, we're going to continue this series for sure.
Yes.
mm-hmm. I'm excited. I'm going to be buying this movie if it comes out on Blu-ray.
Yeah. So Sentai Filmworks licensed it, and we're going to put the link also in the show notes where you can watch this movie for $12 if you are in the UK and I think North America. Otherwise, you probably need a VPN or pirate it. I don't know. I'm probably gonna buy the Blu-ray when it's out.
Yeah,
I will import it so that I have a good quality and good subtitles of it, and go watch this movie. And I'm looking forward to more, both manga and anime.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I think it's very exciting to see these shifts in the anime industry that make these movies possible.
Yes.
Right.
For sure.
And I'm very, very looking forward to what we can get in terms of BL. Not only movies, because most explicit BL will probably be movies or OVA releases. Mm-hmm. But I'm also curious on what we're going to see on the small screen, so TV production, because with BL and TV, it's always how much can you show.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about that. Honestly, I prefer in this format with the movie and like it being a series.
It depends. If they're gonna like castrate the BL just to put it
on TV,
I don't want that. But there are BL out there that aren't explicit, and can put them on the small screen, so
you can for sure.
Let's see. I'm
optimistic.
Excited.
Now.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think that's it, guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all we have for today. Thank you so much for listening, and again, thank everybody who joined us on our watch party. And come and interact with us on Twitter and Instagram. We're at Fuchoshi Weekly. Leave us a comment.
Give us a good rating.
Yes. Subscribe to this podcast if you like the episode. Mm-hmm. And see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.